I'm just going to read the first three verses of 1 John chapter 5 as they actually bring to a conclusion a section that I thought I ended with last week, but I'll mention that briefly. 1 John chapter number 5 verses 1 to 3. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. May we understand these verses better this morning. As I begin to open up this fifth chapter of John's Holy Spirit-inspired letter to all believers confessing the biblical Christ, I want to briefly mention something that I'm not going to spend a lot of time on, because the truth of 1 John 5:1 is far more important. But I trust you remember that the verse and chapter divisions in the Bible were not infallibly inspired by God. They were put in later. And in saying this, I'm not denying their helpfulness. But it's very easy to forget this truth, even though I have mentioned it more than once. For I incorrectly gave the impression that John was finished teaching on his subject of love last Sunday. Not only because of the chapter division, but also because I did not read far enough into the fifth chapter to realize that John is continuing to teach more truth about this ubiquitous term love by stating more truth about it, continuing to the end of verse 3. Forgive me. For John does not just search us all out by saying in the last two verses of 1 John 4, verses 20 and 21, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. But John writes another aspect of biblical love in 1 John 5, verse number 1. Seen by someone, given new life in Christ by the regenerating grace of the Holy Spirit. They not only believe something about the biblical Jesus Christ, but display or demonstrate this personal belief in the biblical Jesus, and I'll explain why I'm using the term biblical Jesus in a moment. Belief in the biblical Jesus in a definite and specific way towards those who have also been born again by God, seen by their believing the same thing about the biblical Jesus. What do believers do? They love one another. Whoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, that is God, the begator, loveth him also that is begotten of him. That is their fellow biblical Jesus, biblical Christ, confessing brother or sister. Now, why have I used the terms biblical Jesus and biblical Christ? Because the biblical Christ warns in the biblical Gospels that there will be false prophets teaching false Christs. To give you but three examples of what I mean, the Christ taught by the false prophet Muhammad, the founder of Islam, the Christ taught by the false teacher Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, and the Christ taught by the papacy are not the biblical Christ.
Right.
John, that John is referring to, when a sinner for whom Christ died is born again by God, whenever this takes place, for Jesus tells Nicodemus that the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration is like the wind, John 3:8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. All true believers in the biblical Christ are born again by the Holy Spirit. But where, when, and how the Holy Spirit is pleased to do this in each believer's life is as mysterious as the wind. But what does John say about true believers who have been born of God? Whoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now notice, John does not say that a believer has to have a certain type of experience. For again, how the Holy Spirit is pleased to bring a dead sinner from not believing that Jesus is the Christ of God to believing that he is different. The way he brought Paul to see Jesus is the Christ of God was different than the way he brought the Philippian jailer. Or Lydia. Even as the way he brought you. If you confess the biblical Christ. Jesus is the Christ. You believe that, showing that you have been born of God. So the regenerating work of the Spirit is not seen. Notice I said the regenerating work, being made new in Christ, the new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. The regenerating work of the Spirit is not seen in the level of sanctification or holiness or understanding of biblical truth a believer has reached. Something all should seek to grow in. And something all grow in at different rates. Due to our different abilities. But the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit is seen when a person personally believes that Jesus is the biblical Christ of God. Jesus is the biblical Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. The one chosen by God to be the one and only Savior of this sinful world. So if a sinner says that he believes that Jesus is his or her only hope of acceptance with God, both now and forever. If a sinner believes that the biblical Jesus is the only mediator between him or her and God. If he believes that on that great day no one will miss. That the only ability he or she will have to be able to stand before the living, true, and only God safely is because of what Christ, the Christ of God, alone did for sinners, believing alone on him for salvation, he or she will be saved. Regardless of what else the Philippian jailer went on to learn and grow in his understanding of regarding Jesus, and however long it took him to grow in that grace and knowledge of his Lord and Savior. When he asked Paul what he needed to do to be saved, what did Paul say? Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And as Paul would write later in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. True believers in God believe something about the biblical Christ. Namely, that he is the Christ of God. John 4, verse 42, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Anyone who truly believes and personally confesses that Jesus is the Christ of God, as defined by the Scriptures, is giving evidence of having been born again by God and of being a true Christian. To use the term born-again Christian is to say the same thing using different words. What's called a tautology. Like the sign that says, if we have it, it's in stock. Because if you are a true Christian, you are a born-again Christian. And if you have been born again by God, you believe what John declares in the opening portion of verse 1 of 1 John 5, that Jesus is the Christ of God. You are a Christian. There is no such thing as a non-born again Christian. This is why it is incorrect, false, and dangerous to call any nation on earth a Christian nation. Because whereas I don't dispute that nations of unsaved men have been influenced and affected by the presence of true Christians in them to varying degrees, the only true Christian nation on the earth is the believing church of Christ. Those born again by God to personally believe and confess the truth that John declares that the biblical Jesus has seen in the opening verse of this fifth chapter. A person who says that they are a Christian but does not personally believe and confess that the biblical Jesus is the Christ of God and the only way into the presence of God is not a Christian. Regardless of how annoyed and offended at being told that truth. If you're offended at that truth this morning, you're not a Christian. But John goes on. John goes on to declare how someone who personally believes truth about the biblical Christ gives evidence of having been born again by God by displaying their personal biblical belief in the biblical Christ by what they do towards those who also believe in the biblical Christ because they have been born again by God. They love them. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, that is God, loveth him also that is begotten of him, that is someone else born again by God who personally believes and confesses that Jesus is the Christ of God like they do. Now I need to mention something which is absolutely crucial for me to mention for a right understanding of John and what he is teaching. It is possible. Oh, is it possible? It is possible for true believers who personally confess and believe the truth of who the biblical Christ is to love one another even though they do not agree with one another on all things the Bible teaches. For the fact that I may disagree even strongly with a fellow born again by God, believer, who confesses and believes on the same biblical Christ as I do, this does not mean that I cannot still love them, even though I disagree with them. Paul disagreed with the believers in Galatia who were foolishly listening to false teachers, but he still loved them. And one of the major problems to seeing this correctly is because it is so easy for a believer to be influenced by what the world says it means to love someone. Their understanding of love is not biblical. Now, in saying this, I'm not saying that there is not an affectionate aspect to love. Believers are living stones, not pieces of hard marble. Or granite that isn't affected by what someone thinks, says, or even does to them. But that doesn't mean I have to agree with everything they say. To give you an illustration of what I mean about how believers can have an incorrect understanding of what love is. I know of a believer who started corresponding with a lady through the internet, email or whatever, I can't remember. And they decided to meet. She saw him before he saw her. And when they met, she immediately told him this wouldn't go any farther because she didn't have an emotional experience when she saw him. You know, fireworks didn't go off and all this. And so this brother in the Lord had to entertain this woman for the rest of the weekend until her plane came to so you could go back. See, that's the challenge, to have a biblical understanding. But how does John define love in verses 2 and 3? By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Go through the New Testament and write down all the commandments given to believers by the Lord that apply to you, and you have love for your fellow believer defined for you. What are some of them, dare I say, commandments of love that a true believer can and does display towards his fellow confessing believers? Quoting again the verses I quoted last Sunday, Romans 13, 8 to 11. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Or those well-known verses in 1 Corinthians 13 again. Love suffereth long, or is patient. Love is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But can you, if you confess Christ? Can I, if I confess Christ, display these biblical characteristics of biblical love towards another confessing believer in Christ, even though I disagree with him in some area or areas? Yes. And the fact that there are disagreements between true confessing believers in Christ is why the Lord gives pastors and teachers to the church he bled and died for. Because none of those Christ died for is perfectly sanctified in this life. That's glorification, friends. Ephesians 4, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And how does Paul say this? This love can be seen later in Ephesians 4, verses 25 to 32. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have the gift to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If a person personally confesses, personally believes that Jesus is the biblical Christ, they have been born again by God. And I will seek, by the enabling grace of God, to love that fellow brother or sister in Christ, even though in love I cannot agree with everything they do or believe, because my conscience is captive to the Word of God. The blood-bought church of Christ is compared to a family. A family made up of born-again children of God that John refers to as fathers, young men, and little children. Earlier in this very letter, believers at different levels of spiritual understanding. Believers at different levels of growth, different levels of discernment. Do all children grow at the same rate? No. Do all children grasp things at the same rate? If you've taught children, you know that isn't true. Can some children be slow to learn? Can some children be slow to learn? How many times do I have to tell you this? Can some children be obstinate? Yes. I mean, consider how mixed up the church in Corinth was. Did Paul still love it? Yes. One of, if not the most personal letter in the New Testament, is Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. Does the fact that believers who personally confess the biblical Christ are not where I am spiritually, whatever level that might be, are not at my level of understanding of the Scriptures, whatever level of understanding that might be, does this mean that I'm to stop loving them? No. Friends, God, in his perfect wisdom, has decreed that there will be differences of conviction on a variety of things by true believers until that true believer dies or the Lord returns. Just to give you an example of that. Interestingly enough, one of the highest listened to sermons on our sermon audio website is not by me. It's actually by Lance, but it's not by Lance. It's a reading of an article by E.W. Pink. And interestingly, yesterday, Dale and I were listening to an audio article by E.W. Pink on health, where he quoted Isaiah 28, verse 16. He that believes does not make haste. Using this verse to question the use of cars. He who believes does not make haste. Well, it's probably better not to use cars. What would he say to those who like flying in this place? Do I agree with him? No. Does that mean I can't profit from his other writings? No. I believe that Jesus is the biblical Christ. Are there other believers confessing the same Lord and Savior who I disagree with, but still love by seeking to speak the truth in love as I understand the truth of the Scriptures, all the while remembering that love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious, love is not puffed up, does not behave unseemly, seeketh not his own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Will I convince a true, born-again, biblical, Christ-confessing believer who thinks babies should be sprinkled that he is wrong? No. No. Because one can plant, another can water, but only the Lord can enable a believer to understand the truth he wants them to understand and believe. Do I hate them for what I see as an error in their understanding? No! Even as I hope that he or she does not hate me because he thinks I'm wrong. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Does my disagreeing with them over baptism or something else, even though they tell me they personally believe that Jesus is the Christ of God, the only one able to make them and me right with God, does their incorrect understanding of baptism, which I believe it is, give me the right to say they're not a believer, even though they confess to being one? No. Does the fact that they have what I believe is an incorrect understanding of baptism or some other biblical truth? Baptism, the Lord's Supper, or some other biblical truth, even though they confess Jesus Christ as their only Lord and Savior, give me a right to hate them? No! I still love my erring brother or sister in Christ, even as I hope he or she loves me. Love rejoiceth in the truth. Friends, I believe that it is possible to rightly divide God's word of truth on many things, dare I say, on all things it teaches on. If I didn't, I would stop preaching right now. The message is over. And when I was called to lead this body years ago, I didn't come thinking I had been called to preach error to them. I have been called to preach the truth. But my convictions as to what the Scriptures teach on some subject may not agree with what another confessing brother or sister believe in that area. I can still love them in Christ, even though my personal convictions on these things do not agree with his or hers. And I can still love them in Christ, even though I may not be able to align with them. Beloved, the right of the private interpretation of Scripture is a fragile blessing. because of how true confessing believers in Christ have allowed this blessing to create hatred in their heart for another true confessing believer in Christ who does not see something the same way they do. And friends, they may never do so in this life, and yet they still confess Christ. But I can hopefully and do love a fellow confessing brother or sister in Christ who does not see something the same way I do, and as I said, may never in this life. Even though I have to disagree with them on things. What did Paul give as one aspect of love? Love does not bear false testimony. Am I loving my fellow confessing brother or sister in Christ? Have I given them the impression that what they are doing and believing is acceptable when I don't believe it is? No. I am bearing false testimony against them. Can I speak to them in love about it? Yes. Will they be convinced of my convictions? I don't know. But even if they are not, if they personally confess the biblical Christ, I'm still to love them. Even though I disagree with them. Brethren, a true born-again believer in God is somebody who believes that Jesus is the Christ of God, the Messiah of God, the one anointed by God to be this world's one and only Savior, and the only one who makes those believing alone on Him acceptable to God. I love that true believer in God in this life, even though I may not be able to agree with him or her in this life and join with them in their praise of the Lord. For example, there are fellowships of believers that hold to the Westminster Confession of Faith or the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. There are fellowships that believe in the singing of psalms only with no musical accompaniment. Now, whereas I could see myself worshiping with them as a visitor while on vacation, I would not be displaying love towards them to seek to join with them as a member because I would be bearing false testimony against them, saying I believe what these two confessions teach or that singing the psalms only was biblical. I would not be acting in a loving way towards that fellowship of believers who believe that Jesus is the Christ of God. To illustrate this even more personally, if a person was to inquire about membership in this small fellowship, and during that inquiry I found out that he was living in sin, that is, engaging in either fornication or adultery, I could not in good faith and love recommend him or him for membership, for I would not be loving either him or this fellowship and bearing false testimony against both by giving the impression that I thought what he was doing was acceptable. If you personally believe that Jesus is the biblical Christ, you have been born again by God. Amen. If I personally believe that Jesus is the biblical Christ, I have been born again by God, and we can testify to the truth of this gift from God by loving one another as Christ commanded us. God help us. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for the clarity of your word, and may your Spirit help us to live it out. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.